You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
For U.S. oil companies that are recording their largest profits in years, they have a choice. One, they can put those profits to productive use by producing more oils, restarting idle wells, or producing on the sites they already are leasing, giving the American people a break by passing some of the savings on to their customers and lowering the price at the pump. Or they can, as some of them are doing, exploit the situation, sit back, ship those profits to the investors, and while American families struggle to make ends meet.
Yeah, because we're struggling to make ends meet because of the Putin price hikes. They love using that phrase, the Putin price hikes. That's no April Fool's joke, but this April 1, 2022, we are not live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube because YouTube continues to ban us because they didn't like the fact that we were simply covering details of the last election. You can't even cover facts without them saying, And they don't really give you a reason. They just say, it violates our standards. All right, back to Biden blaming the oil companies. You know, it's not that Biden doesn't understand. Well, let me correct that. Let me correct that. Maybe he really doesn't, but his energy so-called experts do. They know he is selling lies. The oil companies are not to blame for the high prices, nor is Putin. It's been Biden from day one, shutting down construction of the Keystone Pipeline, shutting down oil and gas leases. And, of course, you're going to hear the talk from them about oil and gas leases and more BS, which I'll explain later. Let me remind you again. I was raised in an oil field family. My dad worked in the oil field. I'm oil field trash and proud of it. And I know how these leases work. Let's say I'm a farmer. You're an oil company. You come to my land. You want to drill on my land? Sure, I'll sign a lease where you can do it. But you have to get permits from the federal government, the Interior Department, and any other green plan group out there that wants to condemn it and keep you from drilling. So simply having a lease means nothing. Then, of course, they have to see if they're going to find oil. Then they have to decide if it's going to be worth the effort to find it if, in fact, we're going to be shut down by the administration. We'll get into that in more detail. In the meantime, we have some good news on the job front. And, of course, Joe Biden quickly jumps to the front. Hey, look what I did. Look what I did. We added 431,000 jobs in March. The American unemployment rate falling to a new pandemic-era low of 3.6%. And he said, Americans are back to work. That's good news for millions of families. It is good news. But we still have many that are not getting jobs, and we have more and more illegals coming across the border. Now, many of the Ukrainians, 100,000 that Biden says he wants to bring into Ukraine for asylum purposes, they could fill some of those jobs. We don't need to have illegals coming in. But the plan is for, at least it's for Biden, is he still wants to bring in 18,000 illegals a day by dropping Title 42, which would prevent them from coming in under CDC quarantine concerns. I say, okay, bring them in. Bring them in and put them at the White House. We'll see how fast that policy changes. We'll bring you up to date on Russia-Ukraine, and it's not looking good for those trying to get out of Mariupol. Rescue teams cannot safely evacuate anyone. We're going to be joined by Gordon G. Chain, China expert. While we watch Russia-Ukraine, China's watching, and it's also taking over the Solomon Islands. China is expanding closer to be within striking distance of Hawaii. Plus, the FEC fines Hillary Clinton and the DNC for falsifying records. Let me correct that. For lying. We'll get into that. And then the Hunter Biden laptop. You know it's an actual story and has some facts behind it when CNN spends time on it and admits, according to one of their anchors, this doesn't look good. Now you think it doesn't look good? We've been telling you it doesn't look good, and we still have a lot of questions about Hunter's ties to Papa Joe. Of course, CNN still won't say there's no evidence, zero evidence showing they're tied together. There is in the emails, and there will be more once we actually get in all of it. We got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The border agents told me that the drug cartels are making $100 million a week. James, let me repeat that. These drug cartels are making $100 million a week.
Yeah, it's the scandal is the lawlessness, the chaos. And you're seeing Democrats up for re-election responding to that. They know this is intolerable. They know it's indefensible. So once again, this gives the president an opportunity if he wants to lead on this issue. And we've heard from lawmakers so many times on this program about how there's been little or no outreach from the White House attempting to solve this. But what those scared Democrats up for re-election do give all of us is an opportunity to come to a solution on a stronger border and more lawful ways to enter the country.
That is Maria Bartiromo, of course, and of one of her guests, James Freeman, with the Wall Street Journal. And as you heard her say, the information from Border Patrol is that drug cartels are making $100 million a week. With all the drug traffic they're moving across the border. Now, if you listen to the progressive liberals, say we don't need no stinking border. Oh no, they don't use drugs that way. They bring them in truckloads, not people. Listen, when you have 1 million people illegally enter the country, do you not suspect at least 20% of them are carrying fentanyl and other drugs? You want to go higher? You want to go lower? It doesn't make any difference. One sugar packet that you see on your table at a restaurant, one of those packets filled with fentanyl would be enough to kill 10,000 people. And then, of course, we have the human trafficking and the things they have had to go through to get to the border and what their families were being extorted to pay money to get them there, and then sometimes indentured servitude. You're talking about, I thought progressives were against slavery. They're making them slaves in this country because they got to pay back their debts, or somebody in the family pays with their head. And then, of course, we have the children being smuggled across the border on a consistent basis and supposedly turned over to relatives and parents when we don't know for fact because we don't have the time and resources to actually investigate everyone. Stop and think for a second. If you went to adopt a child and you file with an agency, they're going to run a background check on you. They're going to see if you got any kind of records, any abuse against children, what your income is, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Here, we're just having kids walk across the border with the help of the cartel, and in their pocket, they've got a phone number. They can't speak much English. But then the Border Patrol agents call that number, and someone at the other end says, yes, that is my niece. I'll be expecting her. Send her to me. And we put her on a plane and turn her over to someone who may well be running a pedophile operation. Now, some of you out there might not believe that. Can you really sleep at night and believe that every child that made it across the border is in a safe place now? There are those who are coming across the border looking for jobs and trying to better their lives and send money back to help their family. There are those. But right now we've had such an influx, we have no idea. We can't keep track of it. We've got Afghans we brought in that were entitled to come in under asylum, and yet only apparently 3, maybe 8% of those that came in were qualified to have visas to come in because they helped us during Afghanistan. We now are going to take in, according to Biden, at least 100,000 Ukrainians. That is, again, a legitimate asylum request. If they stay there, they'll be killed. That is all legitimate. Most of those coming across the border right now, they're not really seeking asylum. They will use the words and say it because they've been trained and taught, but they're just simply escaping a bad economic situation. And I feel for them. I don't want any child or any family to go hungry and live in some of the squalor that they are. They could live in your garage and have a better life. But this administration and the progressive approach has been, we don't need no stinking border. And the one thing that has kept Biden from really, really flooding our nation with illegals is Title 42. Title 42, the CDC supposedly still trying to decide, is it going to reword it, modify it, extend it, or drop it? But the Biden administration already decided come May 23rd, we're done with it. Title 42 was used to keep anyone, especially during the pandemic, from coming in if we could not verify that they were COVID-free. Now, this is assuming we're checking everyone coming across the border for COVID and then giving them shots. I'm sorry, my friend. That's a silly assumption. We have not been doing that. There are too many. We can't. And we've had numerous agents come down with COVID and take it home to their families, and their families get COVID. So you know it's happening. But if Biden drops Title 42, the border chief, Alejandro Mayorkas, and his deputies, the border chief, Mayorkas, the Biden administration, is warning Americans, as he was quoted in the New York Times, Homeland Security officials describing contingency plans for managing as many as 18,000 encounters a day at the border, regardless of the cause. 18,000 a day, 750 an hour, that's going to be 500,000 a month. Multiply that by 10. Quick number, right? Yeah, and we're leaving out 2 months. And, of course, we still have the Biden administration saying, well, the current increase we're seeing, that's seasonal. The weather's better. They can make it better and easier. No, they're coming because, once again, it's very clear to them the Biden administration is not going to shut down anything. And not everyone coming is out of the Central Triangle or even South America. We have stopped and encountered numerous from the Middle East. Now, again, that doesn't mean they're bad people. But how do we know? Because we're not properly vetting them. They show up, they're brown skin, they mixed in, and they just walk across the border. And we're talking about those that we know we're going to allow in. This is not the so-called getaways. And many of those coming in, I'm sure they are searched for drugs. But then you got all the others. And you got many that, there's so many to search that you could not begin. And if we're going to have 18,000 a day, how in the hell are you going to check each and every one to make sure they're not carrying just a sugar packet, a half a sugar packet of fentanyl somewhere? The Washington Post is even admitting this proposed inflow, quote, rattled some Democrats who worry it may be too soon to return to pre-pandemic immigration rules at the border. Why are they so suddenly so worried? You know the answer? You know the answer. Again, the New York Times. Democrats do not want the Southwest border to appear out of control in the months ahead of the midterm elections, which would fuel more Republican attacks on the Biden administration's border policies. Now, see, the New York Times puts it in the sense that it will hurt the Democrats and the Republicans will make a big deal of it. And the Republicans are the ones concerned. But that ain't all the story. I know, I said ain't, and I'll do it again. It ain't all the story. Back in 2020, as I've cited for you previously, Joe Biden comfortably won the Hispanic vote. 59% of Hispanics voted for Joe Biden, according to Pew Research Center. And yet just this month, a Quinnipiac poll shows Biden's job approval rating among Hispanics dropping to 28%. Now, you don't go from 59% to 28% unless you've got a major shift among the voters who were there, who were Democrats, who had decided, this is not working for me anymore, and I'm going to go Democrat in the future. And that would include Latin Americans. And in fact, many of them are strongly religious. Even if they're drug smugglers, they're strongly religious in the sense that they think abortions are wrong. Now, murder for drug deals, they kind of look aside from that, but they're not in favor of abortion. And many have said, many in the media, that say the Latino vote is bound to immigration and equate border security with racism. The polls don't back that up. Again, a September 2020 Pew Research survey of top election issues among Hispanics, ranks immigration eighth in importance. They're just like everyone else in this country, be they here legally or illegally. They are wanting a better life, and they keep seeing the gas prices go up. We are blessed that our wages, we have seen a wage increase of 12%. Now, that sounds outstanding, but when you put it against inflation at a 40% high, a 40-year high, that $12 comes down to maybe a $4 increase. So this latest Hispanic survey from Quinnipiac gave Biden just a 23% approval rating on how he's handling immigration. And they're interviewing only Hispanics, and 23% of them, which many you would think would be Democrats, give him a 23% approval. In May, it was 49%. And now they want to open the border entirely. Now, in this nation, despite the numbers coming out today that we've added another 431,000 jobs and the unemployment rate is at a new pandemic-era low of 3.6%, and Biden's giddy about it, Americans are back to work. That's good news. A little more breathing room. Dignity coming from earning a paycheck. Just the dignity of having a job. Some of these folks do not want a J-O-B. The jobs are available. And in fact, let's go back to the guest that was on with Maria Bartiromo, and that would be James Freeman, Wall Street Journal.
We have 11 million open positions right now in the United States. We're going to talk later this morning about a job market where employers in so many industries are searching high and low for workers and can't find them. So there is a great opportunity here. Lawful, controlled border, vetting for drug dealers, vetting for terrorists, but more opportunities for all these people all around the world who want to come and be productive citizens.
There is opportunity, and we are the land of opportunity. We are the land of immigrants. So when you hear the progressives say, conservatives, Republicans, even some independents, and now maybe some Democrats don't like immigration, that's not true. We want legal immigration. And if a plan is worked out where they can come in, do their job, and may earn some money for their family and then leave, there used to be a program like that back in the 50s down in Texas along the border called the Bracero Program. They would come across, have a pass to work in the farm fields, and then they would go back home where the crops were collected. Then they could apply again. And yes, there are Americans who would do the job, but these workers were willing to do it for less. And that's what's going to hurt the Hispanic community, and they know it. The more illegals come in, the more that are being willing to work for even less. You're paying him $1.50 an hour, I'll take a dollar. Don't think that doesn't happen. All right, let's take a break when we come back. Got a lot to cover this hour. Gordon Chang, China expert on how China is moving closer to Hawaii and what it means, and an update on Russia, Ukraine. It is not a good picture. It is not safe to get folks even out of some areas. That and more still to come. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, I caution and warn you again, the information I'm about to give you, I cannot verify. I'm obviously having to go by various news sources. And some of them are conflicting and some concur, but then some seem to spin on the dime and give out new information. And it might be because it is new or because they were wrong to begin with. I'm talking about the information coming out of Ukraine and dealing with Russia, Ukraine, and what the advancements are for either or both sides. We do know this. Ukrainian members of parliament were in D.C. this week. They were delivering speeches and meeting with members of Congress. One of them said, "We can't just have statements and nice speeches. We need to prove that democracy matters, that the free choice matters, that human rights matter." Now, Ukraine has always been a mess when it comes to government, bribe, corruption. But the people that live there, some may or may not be involved, but right now they are victims of an invasion that was fabricated. But the reality is, as one said, we have women and children dying. And these members of the Ukrainian parliament also visited with the Pentagon, State Department, asking for more military equipment, financial assistance. One said, "Congress plays a crucial role in pushing government. President Biden, White House, you need to be faster, be more firm, be more strict in assisting Ukraine. Our kids, our women, they're dying." Here's the key. Once again, the Biden administration has been behind the curve. When we watch tens of thousands of Russians gathering in Belarus on the border north of Ukraine, when we watch Russian ships sail into the Black Sea, and we're supposed to believe it's all going to be just war games, and we made no efforts to get equipment inside Ukraine before the first shot was fired. Now, granted, putting any troops in there to help them or sending in munitions and so forth now might be seen as an escalation. And it would be stupid, possibly. But we had the opportunity, and we failed We failed. Red Cross says it's been trying to get 2,000 out of the besieged city along the Port Mariupol area, getting them out on buses. They say 100,000 are still trapped. There was a fire at a fuel depot at a Russian city near the Ukrainian border, supposedly caused by Ukrainian helicopters. The Russians are saying, no, no, we didn't do it. I mean, the Russians are saying the Ukrainians did it, and Russians, in turn, might be using it as a false flag that they actually set it on fire because they are accusing Ukraine of launching airstrikes on us. Well, what the hell do you expect them to do that you've been firing and bombing their country for weeks on end now? The Ukrainian foreign minister said, actually, I cannot confirm nor reject the claim that Ukraine was involved because I don't have all the information. Well, at least he's being honest. The mayor of Kyiv said that towns outside the Ukrainian capital are being bombarded with explosions being heard, quote, nonstop during the day and night. Bombarded after Ukrainian fighters pulled back after moving Russian troops out, and then the fighting started again. He said, for those who want to get back to Kyiv, you're going to have to wait a few weeks, see how this develops. And here's another point. The Russian economy, according to the U.S. Treasury Department, is being devastated by the Western sanctions. The ruble making a swift recovery only possible by Moscow's efforts to prop the currency up. The ruble has bounced back to pre-invasion levels. It's worth more than a few pennies now. But it should be tougher going forward. Russia says for those who are buying for us, and there are those who are, despite us saying don't, they're paying in rubles, which will help the ruble, the Russian economy. All right, coming up, China's been watching all of this, but you need to know that China has plans for the Pacific and the U.S., and China just made a move to get closer within striking distance of Hawaii. Stand by for details, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Very superstitious.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
In the Pacific are the Solomon Islands, 2,000 miles northeast of Australia, 3,600 miles southwest of Hawaii. You might know about one of them by the name of Guadalcanal. Certainly U.S. Marines do. Between 7 and 9 of August 1942, U.S. Marines carrying out the first Allied offensive in the Pacific, the first amphibious assault, and capturing Guadalcanal turned to the turning point in the War of the Pacific. Solomon Islands now a sovereign country. But, here comes China. Joining me now, Gordon G. Chain, expert on China. Glad to have you back on board, sir.
Hello?
Yeah, Gordon, you're on. Glad to have you back on board. You hear us?
Yes, I can barely hear you. The static is so bad.
Well, I don't know what that issue is. I was setting up basically what Solomon Islands are. You wrote a piece for Gatestone Institute, and you pointed out on March 25, that's not too many days ago, the Solomon Islands said it's expanding security and it's working with China. Will you explain details? First of all, as I said, Guadalcanal is important in U.S. history and Marine history. And when the Marines did carry out their first amphibious landing in the Pacific, we got a turning point in the war. That was critical. At that time, Japanese losses, 14,000 killed or missing in action. But it was that important to us. I point out it again as how close they are now to Hawaii, 3,600 miles southwest of Hawaii. With the Solomon Islands announcing just March 25, it's expanding, that has to raise some questions. Gordon, we've got you back online. Glad to have you, sir.
Much.
Very good. Good. Now, tell me, what is the concern? China's been wanting to expand the Pacific anyway. Why is the Solomon Island now cooperating, basically?
Okay. The static is really bad, but to the extent that I understand your question, it's that the Solomon Islands are strategic. They're located very close to Australia, which means that they, if the Chinese were there in full force, they could cut off access of the United States to Australia and to New Zealand. Also, when you look at the map, the Solomons are centrally located in that portion of the world. So that's the reason why China wants them.
Well, and I pointed out before you joined us that they're only 3,600 miles southwest of Hawaii. That would put them with striking distance of Hawaii, wouldn't it?
Well, there's another set of islands called Kiribati, which is 1,900 miles south of Pearl Harbor. And there China wants to upgrade an airstrip. And that airstrip, of course, would put Hawaii within striking distance, because Kiribati is actually the next door neighbor to Hawaii in that part of the world.
Why is it, this is a 5-year deal subject to automatic renewals that's going to allow Beijing to use those islands for military and do whatever the Chinese generals and admirals want?
Well, the framework agreement that has been released was leaked by opponents of the deal. Is broad enough so that China could, for instance, establish a military base there. The Solomons deny that they will allow China to do that, but Sagavari, the prime minister, has been very pro-Beijing, and so nobody really believes that denial.
Well, if I remember, I'm looking at part of the framework that you pointed, and again, we're listening to Gordon G. Chain, China expert, a piece originally published in Gatestone Institute. You say the framework agreement provides the Solomon Islands, according to its own needs, could request China to send police, armed police, military, law enforcement, at any point.
Yes, and in fact, in February of this year, China did send its police there. This was after the November riots. During the November riots, the Solomon Islands government requested the Australians to come, which they did, and they saved the government of Sogavare from a popular uprising. And then when the Australians went home, Sogavare, who was very pro-Beijing, then invited the Chinese police to arrive, and the Chinese police appear to still be there. So this really means that you've got a Chinese presence in the Solomons. Got to remember that the uprising that occurred in November was really the result of China trying to destabilize the Solomons with the help of the prime minister. And that has given the prime minister the reason, the excuse to bring in the Chinese.
But the Solomons are not an isolated incident in the Pacific.
Certainly not. There's reports that China is trying to sign up a security agreement with nearby Papua New Guinea. And there are Chinese presences all over the Pacific. You know, this is not just a question of China being aggressive. This is, more important, a question of the United States opening the door by neglect of the region. China would not be infiltrating these societies if we were to continue our presence as we did after World War II. So this is really the fault of every American president going back to about Eisenhower.
And why?
Because we didn't think the region was important. American policymakers have this ability to focus, but when they focus, they neglect other parts of the world. So, for instance, after 9/11, we didn't pay attention to the bigger threat, which was China. And therefore, right now, China is a much bigger threat than Osama bin Laden ever was.
And how American, I'm sorry, go ahead.
just Americans should be upset and outraged that they have been failed by a succession of presidents. Matter of fact, every one of them going back to the end of the World War.
I would have thought after the Pacific and Eisenhower, he would have made sure that, hey, the Pacific is vital. We saw how vital it was just and before you joined us, about how Marines made their first amphibious landing in the Pacific at Guadalcanal, and it's part of Marine history, it's part of U.S. history, it's part of why we turned the tide at that point. He knew that. Why did it suddenly just evaporate?
Well, of course, there are a lot of crises in the world, but we forget, often forget our own backyard, which we have done with the Caribbean, where China is now fully invested and involved. We certainly forget it with Latin America, and these are areas which are close to us. Our American policymakers have paid a lot of attention, for instance, to the Middle East while neglecting our own neighboring region. So this is a general failure. This is Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives, across the board bipartisan failure. And this is the reason why we need to change our focus. First of all, securing our own homeland. And we've done an extremely, extremely bad job of that.
You talk about on the border or elsewhere? Both.
In this hemisphere.
Yeah.
We talk about the Caribbean, talk about Latin America, talk about Central America. We can have policies which can secure our neighborhood, but we don't do it. Instead, we have a foreign policy establishment that believes that it should fail abroad and fail at home. This is just wrong.
And the Russian-Ukraine issue, obviously, is drawing a lot of attention now. China has already made it clear that it's blaming Ukraine for it, and it's still working with Russia. And then while we're watching there, they're moving through the Solomon Islands.
And it's even worse than that, Larry, because a few hours ago, Beijing once again blamed the United States as the primary instigator of the crisis in Ukraine, which is just ludicrous, of course. But nonetheless, China continues to do this, and we do not impose sanctions on China for materially aiding Vladimir Putin's war effort. So, yes, of course, the Chinese are helping a war criminal. But it's because we don't have the political will to impose the costs on China for supporting Vladimir Putin.
In the last 30 seconds, Trump, when he went to NATO and said, we're not going to pay into NATO and others pony up, he was being called a nationalist. Nationalism normally says isolationist, but that doesn't have to be the same. But this country has its own future and security at stake.
Yes, well, you know, one can talk about Trump's rhetoric with regard to NATO, but he did get NATO to focus in on actually starting to build up its own defenses. And clearly, we've had a succession of presidents before Trump who left NATO alone and let the situation in Europe deteriorate to a dangerous level, which is the reason why Vladimir Putin thought he could invade Ukraine.
Gordon G. Chang, you can check him out at his Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang. I encourage you to do that. Every time I put it up, I get numerous people following. They're all interested in you, and we thank you for joining us, sir.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Larry. I really appreciate it.
We will do it again. Gordon G. Chang, coming up, somebody's going to find Hillary Clinton and the DNC? Really?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
If you want to impress someone, I personally recommend Cafe Napoli, Clayton, our town and country, or St. Charles. Cafe Napoli offers private rooms for up to 50 guests, so plan a corporate party, an anniversary party, a birthday party, a party party. Cafe Napoli has a location near you, Clayton, town and country, and St. Charles, where Cafe Napoli 3 is now serving lunch or Sunday brunch, only at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Where there's a will, there's a way, and where there's a political scandal, you'll probably find a Clinton. I mean, look, they fight dirty, they're deceptive, especially when you look at how they label this as legal advice. So we finally all know, it's finally been confirmed, the Steele dossier was always fabricated to smear Donald Trump and skew the results of the election. I actually doubt this is the last bit of dirt that's going to come out regarding the Clinton campaign and the DNC, both very corrupt.
I would certainly agree. They're both very corrupt, and I would expect more dirt to surface. Those remarks coming up from Mark Walker with Strategic Wealth Partners. He's talking about the FCC has fined Hillary Clinton and the DNC, the Democrat National Committee, for false reports. That's the legal term. Filing false campaign reports of how they spent money. Now, that makes it sound like, okay, I guess we put something in the wrong column. No big deal. It's just a little mistake. We will take care of it. And Republicans do that, too, from time to time. And they always want to look for all of them, want to look for a way to how do we kind of dismiss it and kind of put it aside and say, you know, it's nothing more than just a false report. No ill intent meant. That's what they want you to believe, right? Well, there's more to it than that. And even the Associated Press is reporting it, which I think it did great. All of these mainstream, now state-controlled media are beginning to say, we can't put out the fire anymore. There's too much smoke. Everybody knows where there's smoke. There's got to be a flame, and let's get out of the way. So documents sent by the Federal Election Commission investigation the other day issued a fine to Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign and the Democrat committee. They fined Hillary Clinton $8,000. $8,000. She probably spent that on her bagel this morning. DNC, $105,000. Again, nothing compared to what they've got. For, quote, false reports, when it really should be lying, violating campaign finance law because they reported the money they were putting down as research was actually to pay for the infamous Steele dossier. They put it under the title of legal work. Well, that's close enough. It's a lie. It's meant to hide it. So now they get this fine. $8,000 for Hillary, $105,000 for DNC. Dagan McDowell with Fox says, what a laugh this is.
$8,000 from the Clinton campaign when the Clinton and her cronies and the DNC paid $1 million for the Steele dossier combined, well, for the to Perkins Coie, the law firm behind all of this. And they actually had the audacity to say that the money had gone toward legal advice and services. So this is a whole lot of nothing. And let's just, and as you were pointing out, this was a dossier full of lies that the FBI used to spy on a member of the Trump campaign leading up to the election.
And I'm watching and looking right now at the front page of CNN. And you know what? It does not, that story does not even appear. Now, this is not a rumor. It's a fact. The FEC, the Federal Election Commission, find them that amount of money. Now, you may or may not find a way to dispute it and claim that, well, it's still just a mistake. We didn't mean to call it legal. We just mislabeled it. Where do you put it? I mean, stop and think. Where are you supposed to put that we're buying false information to slander a man running for president? Where does that fit on the form? Oh, we're going to create a new form, aren't we? No, they are just CNN anyway, just kind of ignoring it. I'm sure they'll slip it in somewhere over the weekend. This was all an intent when they spent millions to create the Steele dossier to use it for grounds of, quote, impeachment and carry all that out. And they get, I mean, this is not even a slap on the wrist. This is not even a shake of the finger, shame, shame, shame. It's something, but it still doesn't really matter. They got away with it, and they'll try it again. Hey, coming up, Jen Psaki going to lead the White House, and of course, there's a cushy job waiting in one of the networks for her. In fact, one member of the network has to be concerned, is she coming after my job? But before we get into that, Joe Biden wants you to believe that the oil price increases are because gas companies are gouging you. If you're driving, don't do this. But if you're not driving, raise both hands if you think that's a lie. Well, watch out! I said if you're driving, don't do that. It's coming up. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.